Amen. Today I'm using not one but two texts, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. Both of them talk about the importance of wisdom. But before I read them, I want to try to take you back to where my mind took me when I found these texts in today's lectionary, that list of suggested Bible texts for each Sunday. For each of these texts, my mind, for very personal reasons, went to Cuba, or at least to a partnership my former church in Cleveland had with a church in Caibarien, halfway down Cuba's north coast. Bear with me, I hope this will make sense in a moment. So the first memory that came to my mind is of a Cuban visitor to that Cleveland church. René Castellanos was, he since died, a much loved pastor and teacher at the seminary in Matanzas in Cuba. He taught theology and he taught Cuban folk dance. And he was a father figure to many of those seminarians. As part of his visit to Cleveland, we were sitting in a church member's home, a few of us chatting and laughing around a table that was well provided with a meal of fish and bread and wine. And Pastor Castellanos got to talking about how perfect a setting this would be for seminary. How perfect for talking about faith and theology and politics and life experiences, a perfect communal setting for building wisdom for the living of these days. Keep that image in mind. A table with bread and wine, a community gathered around it. Maybe it's a home table. Maybe it's this church's table. Keep that in mind as I read our text from Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals, she has mixed her wine, she has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls, she calls from the highest places in the town, "You that are simple, turn in here." To those without sense, she says, "Come eat of my bread and drink of my wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live, and walk in the way of insight." So wisdom invites us to come to her well-provisioned table, to eat and drink of her food and her teaching, to walk in the way of insight. Now, with that message still in mind, let's turn to our text from Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful how you live. Literally, how you walk. Then we're told that the days are evil. Yet we need to make the most of them. We need to understand God's will, and we need to sing and give thanks for everything. Hang on, these are evil times, and we need to make music and give thanks for everything. So another Cuba memory. This time I'm in Cuba, probably 10 plus years ago, and times are for sure not easy for the Cubans or for the Cuban church. I'm at the Presbyterian camp near Santa Clara in central Cuba. Think maybe of our Tower Hill camp, but in the tropics, and decidedly more primitive. Of course, it is also considerably warmer. There are palm trees, and there's a large open-sided thatched shelter with a great view of the Cuban countryside, so it's not at all a bad place to hold meetings. Tacked to trees at various places on the grounds are wooden plaques with inspirational messages. And the one that particularly caught my eye back then and has stuck in my memory ever since read as follows. There will be better times, but these are our times. The message, hope for the future, yes, but act for the now. I think of that well-known verse from Psalm 118 that we heard earlier. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's do that again. This is the day that the Lord has made. And be glad in it. Or think of Pamela Key's wonderful sermon last week on those famous Ecclesiastes verses, to everything there is a time. Yeah, I feel like jumping into that Pete Seeger tongue, but I won't, you know, turn. And Pamela's reminder that each day is a fresh start. It is a fresh start, even if the times are evil. So what were the evils that worried the creators of our two texts? When you get a chance, read more than just our few verses, and you'll find that there were many. What times were they living in? The book of Proverbs was almost certainly compiled 500 plus years before Christ, when the Israelites had returned to Jerusalem from exile in Babylon, but they were still ruled by the Persian Empire. Ephesians, by contrast, was composed just a few decades after Jesus' death, when Israel was under the control of the Roman Empire. In both cases, we read complaints about both rulers and the surrounding culture having values foreign to the worshipping community. In Proverbs, there are complaints of sexual impropriety, of lying, of injustice. In Ephesians, there's not just a concern we read about drunkenness, but there are major concerns about the need to heal divisions, to treat one another with respect, to bear with one another in love. And thank you, love. It's so important. In Proverbs, there are concerns about young people being pulled into street gangs, into lives of robbery and violence, into being killed on those streets. Does this all sound a little too familiar? These texts, written many centuries ago, remain all too relevant for the problems that we face today. So what do these texts advise us to do? They advise us to gain wisdom, to try to understand God's will, to use our time well, presumably getting out there and doing God's will, and to sing. First, gain wisdom. Proverbs would have us listen to woman wisdom, lady wisdom, also known from the Greek as Sophia. I wonder whether anyone here was aware of or remembers the controversy around a 1993 conference in Minneapolis on reimagining Christianity. Do you remember that one, Lois? I think she does. Yep. The imagery of Sophia, of Lady Wisdom, was prominent. The conference was organized by the World Council of Churches and attended by about 2,000 women. There were over 400 Presbyterians, that's my denomination, about 150 women from the UCC, our United Church of Christ, 300 Lutherans, 150 Catholics. For the women, many of them say, it was a powerful reminder that the Bible holds feminine as well as masculine images of the divine. Something we reflect in University Church in our final sung benediction. For some men and even some women looking in from the outside, the conference was heresy. As one man described it, the most radical women in apostate Christendom pontificated on every sort of weird and unscriptural subject imaginable. So yes, Lady Wisdom has been the source of much theological discussion and controversy. But I'm not going there right now. To be honest, I love the female imagery, but mostly I'm just accepting that Lady Wisdom is indeed right here in the Bible, and I want to learn what she has to teach us about acquiring the wisdom we need for our troubled times. For a start, she is certainly not trying, as some critics of that 1993 meeting claimed, to be a competitor to God. A few verses after those we read earlier, we find Lady Wisdom telling us, in what I think will be familiar words, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." We must start then with a turn to God. But not, she suggests, working from some remote retreat, but from down and dirty in the city. That's where she's at work, right alongside troubled humanity. Proverbs 1:20 tells us wisdom cries out in the street, in the squares she raises her voice. Proverbs 8, at the crossroads she takes her stand beside the gates in front of the town. She stands at the city gates and tries to get people to listen to her words, even though most prefer more tempting voices of greed and wrongdoing. She is a straight talker and expects us to be the same. From my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. How refreshing. Maybe especially in our days, right now. Even as she condemns liars and thieves and all who fail to walk in God's ways, she still delights in all God's creation, not least in humanity. In Proverbs 8 we read, "The Lord created me, wisdom, at the beginning of his work. When the Lord inscribed the foundations of the earth, I was beside him growing up. I was his delight day by day, playing before him every moment, playing in his inhabited world, delighting in the offspring of Adam." Playing, delighting. Doesn't that sound a bit like our Ephesians text? Bewailing evil times, but singing and making melody to God in your hearts, giving thanks to God at all times and for everything. Love the world. Love all humanity. But do something about these evil times. So we must say no to destroying the very environment that we live in and that wisdom played in. We must say no to things like Mexicans are rapists, or immigrants are criminals, or all Muslims are terrorists, or the poor are just lazy. No to locking up people addicted to drugs, unless perhaps they happen to be white middle class. No to turning back refugees and asylum seekers at our borders. No to profiting from immigrant detention centres. We must say yes to building beloved community, and we must do something about it. Community matters to Lady Wisdom. The wisdom we gain is supposed to build character, to help us living out the best of communal values. Lady Wisdom says, "Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and equity, and every good path." Righteousness, justice, and equity, those are community-oriented values. And the good paths she talks about can only be formed by the passing of many feet treading wisdom's walk. Wisdom's walk is a walk we take together. We gather around wisdom's table or home tables, or we gather around this Lord's table of bread and white, and we share ideas, share projects to build a better world. As Maggie sung to us, let's get together and feel all right. Look around you right now. Look at the people around you. Maybe look at somebody you don't know quite so well. in this church community could share with you gems of wisdom or ideas for action that you've never imagined. Probably most of the people you can see. Talk about it over coffee after worship. Maybe get together in small groups at other times. Find out what others are thankful for. Find out more about the challenges that members of this community are facing. Find out what work others are doing for justice. Find out how parents are trying to bring up their children to walk wisdom's walk. And listen to the wisdom of children and youth too. I know we do all that now. It's one of the reasons why I love this church. But let's work on doing it even more. Wisdom's walk is not somber. Ephesians reminds us that it requires a church filled with the Spirit. And who might that be? People like us, on the path to wisdom and character formation and action, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, songs that rise up from grateful hearts. The words and actions we use in worship are meant to shape our lives and actions as individuals and as a church. Think about that a little later as we sing our hymn that asks God to grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. Sing this prayer to God. Sing to open our hearts. Sing us into even stronger community. Sing us into wisdom for the living of these days. And prepare to go out and do something about it. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's take some moments of quiet to reflect on what the Spirit may be saying to each of us right now.